Hello and welcome to Nationwide with me, Sani Martin. This evening, we will be getting an update on the implementation of the Revitalized Peace Agreement of 2018 from the IGAD Special Envoy to South Sudan, Dr. Ismail Wais. Please don't call because this is a recorded program. Let's start our interview, Ambassador, and thank you so much for accepting to always talk to Radio Mirai. And can you give us an update on the peace process? Where are we right now with the implementation?
Well, thank you very much. A very important question, and our people deserve to know where we are really. As you know, the agreement as such, we went very far indeed, and we have also some setbacks and some challenges still. Now, the parliament is in place. The speaker of the parliament is also in place. And we're just waiting really that the parliament starts its activities and passes the necessary bills and laws that would enable money activities, which are now on hold, in fact, to start. So this is where we are. We are not very far, on the other hand, with the issue of transitional security arrangements, and there is where we really have to move. The sooner, the better.
Okay. And this week, the Joint Defense Board announced that the Unified Forces will be graduating next month. Should we be more optimistic this time? How is this announcement different from the previous one, where they were supposed to be to have been graduated a long time ago?
The term you used is very, very good, and I would like to repeat it again. Should we be optimistic? The people of South Sudan in general, the IGAD institution, and the international community, we don't have any choice other than being optimistic in the process, the peace process in South Sudan. So whatever happens, we are always very optimistic, and we do expect that our leaders in South Sudan really make a difference in the process and take us farther than we are right now. So, when it comes to the announcement of next week, this will depend on several parameters. Number one, and a very simple one, is in fact an agreement of the leaders on the ratio of sharing of the command structure. This is still on hold, and our leaders are still negotiating about it. And as long as this is not settled, we can have dates sooner or later, but nothing will happen. So we are very optimistic, and we hope this month might be enough so that we have come forward with those pending issues. But believe me, we are always very optimistic, and we have a very big trust on our leaders, even though sometimes they really disappoint us in general.
How many forces are we talking about who are supposed to be graduating?
Well, this is very clear. You know, the agreement is very clear about it. In the first phase, we were expecting something like 82,000. But no matter how much we graduate on the first phase, there is no doubt and no discussion about it. All has to be graduated and deployed. You know, we are really talking about the National Defense Force of the Republic of South Sudan. There is no compromise on this. And the other thing which should be very clear is this transitional security arrangement and the unification of forces is indeed the backbone of this agreement. So we have to move, and we trust our leaders will take us really at the road down to the unification of these forces. Among your other questions, you will find very easily many things will depend on how we really succeed on this matter. Let me mention one of them. We can never think about elections, for example, without having the unification of forces on the ground.
Over the past few weeks, there has been several defections and splinter groups within the SPLM AIO. And we want to find out from you as a special envoy of IGAD to South Sudan, to what extent do you think the split within the SPLM AIO in Kitgwang will affect the implementation of the agreement, more special chapter 2?
Well, you mentioned a very important question. But let me be very clear about this as well. Sorry. IGAD as an institution will never support defections of any kind from any political party or stakeholder. Even though we use sometimes the term democracy, that the individual has the right to move and think and do whatever he wants. But as far as this peace agreement is concerned, we do not really support any kind of defections from one party to the other. This IO, as you know, very clearly is the second biggest force in the Republic of South Sudan. And of course, you can imagine anything that happens to such a force, of course, can destabilize also the peace process in general. And we should not allow that this happens, indeed. But what is very important is at the moment, we have engaged the highest organs of the IGAD structure, like the office of the chair, whether the council or the head of states. I've contacted also not only the prime minister, who was he himself in the Republic of South Sudan, to engage the leaders on this issue. I also briefed the president of the Republic of Uganda, His Excellency Museveni, on the same issue, and asking all of them to support engaging our leaders on this issue. And we are really very, very keen. As you know, on the last Council of Ministers meeting, the question was to send a fact-finding mission to Kitwang and to Magenis area. And we sincerely hope now we have all the clearance from the government of Sudan and as well as the Republic of South Sudan, that in the next few days or a week, that we will be able to send the delegation to there, to Magenis and in that area, to find out really what happened on the ground.
And what will be the mandates of these fact-finding to Kitgwang and Magenis?
Well, the mandate is very simple. You know, something happened on the ground, and we have to know really what happened and what was the cause of this. Talk to the people on both sides and find out how we can engage them. But as I said from the very beginning, this is an IO internal dispute. It is a defection, as you said, within the IO. And we have to also see this question as such. And we have to engage IO, in fact, to clean their house and, of course, also to come back to their original strength and, of course, also position. And we tell them the weaker, the more they really split and they fight among themselves, this will also weaken their position within the peace process.
And this fact-finding committee, is it comprising only of IGAD member states, or you will also include some members from the African Union?
Well, in this case, the council have made the composition very clear. It will be composed of IGAD, of course, the security mechanisms as well, which was appointed by one of the two guarantors of this peace agreement from Sudan and from Uganda. Of course, Citizen will be there and RGMEC. So it is almost it is solely the IGAD structure which is going in this process and facilitated. And I would like to thank His Excellency the SRSG, Nikolaus Hazem, for accepting to facilitate the logistical support of this mission.
So how soon will we see them on the ground?
Well, as soon as next week, I hope. You know, there are some technical things to be done. But as far as the mission itself and the composition is concerned, we are ready, and we're just waiting for UNMISS, in fact, to give us the green light to move.
Have they been given a specific date to complete their findings and report back to the hierarchy in Addis or in Djibouti?
Yes, right. It is pity that we are now late also on this issue. This was supposed to happen weeks back, but there were several reasons why this couldn't happen, in fact, because first of all, before a mission like this takes place, we have to have a clearance from the respective countries. In this case, the government of the Republic of Sudan and the Republic of Sudan. So South Sudan and Sudan. Now, it took us some time at least and some discussions until really we got the kind of clearance we needed from the Republic of Sudan. Now we have it on the ground, and we hope that this mission will take place within this week, the coming week, and we expect them to conclude the results also in not more than just in that week.
Okay.
Or up to 10 days.
Yes, Ambassador, for just clarity, and many South Sudanese who are not really satisfied with the way the agreement is being implemented, what are some of the outstanding issues which are yet to be implemented within the revitalized peace agreement?
This is also a very interesting question, but the most serious one, as I said, is the transitional security arrangements, the unification of forces and their deployment. This is the primary one, which is really very important and key. And we hope, in fact, that our leaders would help us solve these problems as soon as possible. All the others depended, you know, they are related to the constitution-making process, judicial reform committees, and so on. They really required a kind of a bill passed by the parliament, which is now in place. And as you know, the Speaker of the Parliament is now busy on preparing the agenda for the next session. Now the Parliament is complete, since also the OPP members are also sworn in. So these are the issues: the constitution making process, judicial reform committee, and then the Parliament has really to pass many other bills which also will bring this agreement really further, like the Political Parties Act, election, all those activities which are related to elections. So we hope we will move this also soon, since now the parliament is in place and they only really have to do their work.
With regards to transitional justice, Redimire understands that there has been some progress following Artigonu cabinet endorsement on the roadmap by the Ministry of Justice and the Constitutional Affairs and for its implementation. And we also understand that the Justice Minister has subsequently established a task force within the ministry to coordinate the day-to-day implementation of Chapter 5 and 4 and 5. So we want to find out from you, has the African Union made any headway in this regard, more especially on the establishment of the hybrid court?
Well, these are two questions, the hybrid court and the Judicial Reform Committee. As you said, the judicial reform is really progressing well. We have received all, you know, IGAD has also here a very important task to play, and because IGAD has to provide the chair and the deputy chair, like that of, for example, NCAC. We have received very competent and highly qualified applications from the region, specifically from Kenya, Uganda, Sudan, and so on. We are now you know, going it through the, all those documents in order to select the chair and the deputy chair. We really do hope that this process could be concluded also in the next 1 or 2 weeks' time. This will make the judicial reform really, you know, start its work. I would like also to thank here the European Union, who has also volunteered to support this activity of the Judicial Reform Committee. So that is with the Judicial Reform Committee. With the hybrid court, it's the same thing. We have to wait and whether at the EU, as you remember, is very much committed also in this field. So it won't. It is. It's just a matter of time, of course. And when the time is ripe for all these activities, also the EU will also do its part in as far as the hybrid court is concerned.
Yes. Can you also give us an update on the constitution making process? Where are we right now?
Well, in the constitution making process, this is we are very far with this. You remember that the workshop that was started by the RGMEC and is completed, that the framework was prepared by the stakeholders, was presented to the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs. Now, what the only thing which is now remaining is, in fact, that the Parliament takes over this and passes the laws and accepts this, and of course also this hopefully will be one of the first elements that the Parliament will take up. But we are very far in this issue, as you know.
President Kiir has been quoted on several occasions here in Juba, stressing the importance of conducting general election in 2023. But the question remains, electoral preparations have not started. There is no consensus on the timeline, requiring the completion of voters' registration by late 2022. And without adequate technical and political preparation, and like you mentioned, without the graduation of the necessary unified forces deployment all over the country, how realistic will this be?
Well, you remember this was also one question we have exhaustively talked about it in our last meeting and interview. Election is very important and would mark also the end of the implementation of the peace process, which is correct. But a lot of activities has to be in place before elections are carried out. You have mentioned one, the unification of forces. You know, without security, we cannot think about elections at all. So other thing is, as you also said, mentioned it, we have to have, the electors register. Then we need also an election and laws and act. We need the board, an independent election board. We need a census. And we have to think about also how to the participation of the refugees and the displaced people, whether they have to repatriate or whether they can do this and participate the elections in where they are. And we have to find out what a kind of arrangement and preparations are required for all this. So there is a lot of other preparations to do. But first of all, let us see that the parliament takes its work. And then we have the board in place, and it is it starts its own capacity building activities, and therefore with that the government decides about the register, about the census, and all those other activities I have already mentioned. As you know, elections could be a solution. But all, if not well prepared and not well done, it can also polarize the community and the society, and this is something we have to really take care of it, and we have to work with all our stakeholders as well as our partners, whether UNMIS, Troika, African Union, IGAD member states, We all have to cooperate that these elections, in fact, takes place in a peaceful and a well-prepared manner.
Is IGAD worried about the subnational violence happening across the country, like, for example, in Warab State and in Tomboro County or Western Equatorial State? Is IGAD worried about the effect of this subnational violence in the implementation of the Revitalized Peace Agreement? And what is IGAD doing to engage Artigon to contain the situation and allow a peaceful environment for the agreement to be implemented?
Well, this is a rhetoric question. Of course, we are always worried when there is an all unnecessary violence taking place in the country. When one simple South Sudanese person, especially civilians or any other person, is killed because of an unnecessary violence in the country, of course, we are worried about this, and it has to stop. And we engage, in fact, our partners, in this case, the leaders of South Sudan, in fact, not to take this on a very simple shoulder and really try to help and do whatever necessary to ease this situation. But you see, as I mentioned, this kind of violence, these community fights, whether Tombora, whether it is Meganese, whether it is in Warab, as you say, Jongle or whatsoever, you know, this can only be contained when we have really the unified forces in place on the ground and also deployed. We also discussed this in detail in our last interview, in fact. You know, this is the backbone of the agreement, and security in South Sudan requires, in fact, that the unification of forces has to be enforced. Now, look, our leaders, especially His Excellency General Salva Kiir Mayardit, and I would like to congratulate him, is, of course, facilitating and engaging the peace process in Sudan. You also know that he is a candidate to facilitate and engage the conflict in Ethiopia. So he is well trusted in all those activities, and I really appreciate and congratulate him. But it is more and more important that he also shows that the peace facilitation, engagement, and enforcement in the Republic of Sudan also lies on his own shoulder. And he has to move some of those activities that really depend on his effort.
Any update about the negotiation between Artigon and the holdout group that was being facilitated by Saint Egidio in Rome? Where are we now with the process?
Well, you're talking about Soma. That is also another headache, in fact. You know that Soma itself is a bunch of institutions. They split again, as you remember. And we have now two groups. One group led by Thomas Cirillo, and the other one, Pagan Amum, and His Excellency Paul Malong, General Paul Malong. So the engagement is here also going parallel, as you know. But now, you see, with one group, the engagement was very promising, especially Pagan Amum and Paul Malong. And we had some kind of a setback with Thomas Cirillo. Now, you remember very well the activities which are taking place in Central Equatoria, Eastern Equatorial. And the president has, in one of the interviews, said, you know, unless Thomas Cirillo and NAS stops those activities and they recommit back again to the cessation hostilities, that Artigon would not necessarily continue the engagement with that group. So you also know that recently the leaders of Saint Gideon was in Juba. They engaged the president and the other stakeholders as well. So there are still, you know, behind the scene engagement which is taking place. But we hope these activities should also not be lagging far behind, with those other activities which are going in the country, because these groups would also like to, are very much interested perhaps also to participate in the activities of constitution making process and judicial reform committees and all those other activities. So the engagement in these issues are going on, and Citizen is also preparing itself for the participation of these various SOMA parties into the activities of Citizen. And they are ready to conduct the necessary workshops for those stakeholders who have to participate Citizen the soonest possible.
And when will that be? An idea?
Well, I talked to the leaders of St. Gidio. They were telling me at the beginning, the end of this week, that they will resume this discussion with the SOMA group of Thomas Cirillo not later than this week. So we hope we might see a kind of development before the end of this month.
What are some of the major setbacks as a special envoy of IGAD to South Sudan? What are the setbacks you see affecting the implementation of this peace process?
Well, the setbacks, I repeat again and again, is in fact, you know, that our leaders are not engaging themselves as we really have wished that they engage themselves. That is one. And number two is indeed the unification of forces and the security in the country. This is very important. And without having the unification of forces, as you see, the communal fights and this unnecessary violence within the communities will continue. And in order to end, we really have to find ways and means, you know, to promote the unification of forces as soon as possible.
What can be done by Artigonu to fast track the implementation of this agreement, in your view?
Well, we can do a lot of activities, and in fact, we are doing it. But we always don't pin it on the wall and say this is what is happening. Even when we talk about this transitional security arrangement, as I said, some leaders of the region are still working on it, and I hope with the success of those engagements, there we can make a headway. So what we are doing is, you know, shuttle diplomacy, in fact, and the discussions behind the scene, cooperating with international communities and other friends of South Sudan to engage the leaders of South Sudan. So there are many ways, in fact, to support the peace process hit a successful way.
As a special envoy of IGAD to South Sudan, what are some of the key activities within the agreement you think should be done immediately within this time?
Well, of course, the parliament has that to resume its work as soon as possible. By chance that the speaker of the parliament was these days not in the Republic of South Sudan. She had a mission outside the country in the Republic of Djibouti, where the African Union parliamentarians were meeting. So I hope when she comes back, then they expedite the activities of the parliament and take up some of the important bills, and that they pass those bills as soon as possible. That will really help the peace process tremendously.
What is your final remark to South Sudanese who are literally losing hope in the way our leaders are implementing this agreement?
Well, we are all in the same boat, the leaders as well as the people of the Republic of South Sudan. We are all in the same boat. Our destiny is tied together, and we will either stand together or we will fall together. We don't have a choice, in fact, other than being successful in this peace process. So my plea is indeed that the people of South Sudan should not give up. They don't have a choice. and there is nothing sweeter than peace in the country, a beautiful country with beautiful people, with a lot of resources endowed by nature. So we have to move forward in this peace agreement, and we don't have another peace also on the pipeline. So we all have to cooperate, and we all have to really motivate our leaders to take us to the right direction the soonest possible. So I will not really encourage that our people lose hope. That should be the last thing we should do it. We should always be optimistic, stand together, and push our leaders to the right direction.
Thank you so much, Ambassador, for your time, and we appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you also for this opportunity, and perhaps allow me for the last statement.
Okay, go ahead.
Honestly, this was not the time to become sick. Unfortunately, I was, attacked by this pandemic, and I would like to thank all those people from the Republic of South Sudan and for their good wishes in the time I was not able to come to South Sudan and, in fact, follow the peace process as I should have done it. Again, I would like to thank all those people of South Sudan and other leaders and other people for their good wishes in this case. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ambassador, for your time and talking to Radio Mirai. We appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you and have a good day.
And with that, we have come to the end of our discussion for the first hour of Nationwide. Stay tuned for the news that will be coming to you at the top of the hour at 6 p.m. in English. My name is Annie Martin.